Changes in sexual performance are more common than most people realize, and support doesn't need to feel awkward. With MedExpress, everything happens privately online. Start by completing a short consultation reviewed by UK-registered clinicians. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly to your home with ongoing support whenever you need it. You're not alone in this. Visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to learn more.
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
From the WGCN studios in beautiful downtown Peoria, Illinois, it's the Blood of the Wild with your host, Jared Logan. This week, Quest for the Frozen Flame, a Pathfinder 2E adventure path. And as always, we have our cast, Joe O'Brien.
Hi,
Paula Deming.
Hello,
Mary
everyone.
Lou.
Wow,
and
howdy,
that
folks.
Funny guy with the funny pants, Skidmore.
Oh, that's your catchphrase. Woo,
that's my catchphrase. That's the that's the sound my pants make.
As you walk each step, woo, woo, woo.
Did you guys have like morning clowns where you grew up, like on TV?
Like Bozo?
Do you want to repeat that? What? Yes.
Morning like clowns?
We had Bozo. Bozo the clown.
You had Bozo. Was Bozo like syndicated?
Bozo the clown.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yes, but he's only for the mornings? What do you mean?
A lot of markets would have, we had a morning clown. We had a clown like, you know, 7 a.m., you turn on the TV and there'd be a clown.
Mm-hmm.
In Denver, it was Blinky. It was Blinky the clown. And you mail him $5 on your birthday and he'd say your name.
I'm sorry. You had to give him money on your birthday? That's that's an email scam.
It was a total scam. I'm only realizing it now as I say it.
Blinky.
With Bozo, you could get... Oh, shoot. Now I've forgotten. It's like Archway Cookies or something. It was always like their sponsor was like Archway, whatever it was. And there was like, everyone gets Archway Cookies as their prize if you toss the ball into the cups that are further and further away. Anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about.
No, yeah, the balls and the cups are further and further away. My friend was on Bozo the Clown throwing ping pong balls into buckets. And he was just... nobody's going to get this reference probably, but Skid. But the Andy Reid, who's the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, he there's a famous video of him as a kid in like an NFL or like a football camp or something like that. And he's like twice the size of the other kids his age. He's just like this, like this like 9-year-old kid, but he's the size of a 16-year-old.
Of a grown man.
Yeah, exactly. And
was
so
it
that's
the punt, pass, and kick. Was that what it was?
Yes. Yeah, it was the punt, pass, and kick when he was like in a football camp. Anyway, that is what my buddy looked like. He's like this. He was like as tall as Bozo, but we were in middle school. And he's just like, and yeah. So I just looked it up. He is definitely.
Are you sure this wasn't some sort of like collective hallucination you all had?
Also, Skid, I think, sort of deliberately go into the private chat and I'll drop it there. Skid sort of had a specific way of putting it, which was you turn on the TV and there was a clown. That's kind of all he said, which is a disturbing way to say that it was a show. It was like a, you know,
I had a morning.
a morning clown.
I had a morning clown.
I'm picturing like Big Brother, like your TV turns on by itself and it's like, hey, good morning, kids.
Exactly.
Time to wake up. It's clown time.
Right. I had a morning clown, but he was in my house.
And,
okay. He lived in the walls.
Yeah. No, thank you.
And he would watch us.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I rewatched.
His name was David the Clown.
David the Clown.
I rewatched. Confused with David the Gnome.
Yeah. Mm.
Different guy.
Poltergeist recently. And it was on HBO or something like that. And I hadn't watched it in years. So I watched it. And there's the scene with the clown in the kid's room, like in the rocking chair and the lightning storm and everything. And I was just like, I hadn't really thought about it before, but, you know, looking back, I was like, what kind of, what child would have that in their room? That is completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like a clown the size of a child, a full-size child-sized clown sitting in a chair that looks at you while you sleep. Like, come on. Come on.
Ooh.
It was a different time.
It was a different time.
Yeah, back then, kids
did not
liked
have any morning clowns.
Well, kid, at a certain point, kids liked clowns. I think
there was a time. Yes. Yeah.
There has
probably
been
like the 20s.
Transition.
I don't know.
It was all John Wayne Gacy. There's like pre-John Wayne Gacy, mm-hmm. post-John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
Before John Wayne Gacy, people actually like clowns, I think.
I think so. I think you're right.
I've listened to a podcast about it. That sounds right to me.
Yeah. John Wayne Gacy, what a big accomplishment, other than all those murders, to just kind of end clowns.
To ruin clowns.
He ruined
forever.
Clowns.
Yeah.
What a life goal.
Wow.
I have this nightmare moment from my life that I believe is like where I made that turn with clowns. Mm. And I can't remember exactly how old I was, but I remember, and I have a terrible memory. I don't remember things like with the detail that Skid does. I remember being a kid and specifically getting this sweatshirt based on the popularity of Michael Jackson's Bad. And it was just a sweatshirt that in like scratchy writing just said Bad.
Yeah.
Across it, right? And so I wore it because like Bad was good, right?
Yeah,
like, it was
that's
cool.
The coolest thing ever. Sad. Awesome.
And the only reason I remember this sweatshirt is because of an incident that I don't remember where it was. I think it was like in a mall where a clown came up to me and was like, oh, are you Bad? Are you Bad? And I like lost it. I started sobbing, crying.
Sounds like a nightmare. I mean,
it just something about the way that he came like up into my face, like freaked me out. And I think he was on stilts too. That's my memory of it. Dude, it was so scary.
That far too powerful. No.
Stilts? What
and
the
it was
hell
a Dairy Maine, and it was...
And he crawled up from the gutter.
Are you Bad? Are you Bad? I was like, ah.
That's horrifying.
Bad kids come down into the sewers.
No.
Oh, you know, they shot that video in the Hoyt Schermerhorn subway stop.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Fun fact.
Here's another fun fact. The other lords say our days are numbered. Our following dwindles. Enemies dog our footsteps, and we have failed in our sacred charge. They say we will soon pass away into the endless northern night. They are mistaken. We are strong. Broken, but strong. Our hearts beat, and it is like the sound of a herd of mammoths stampeding across the tundra. And in each heart flows the blood of the wild.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Right, home from work, walk the dog, kids are back. Mom! Up the stairs for something. Ugh, back down, no idea what I went up for.
Mom, what's for dinner?
Chop, sizzle, done. HelloFresh can't slow life down, but it makes bringing everyone together around the table a whole lot easier. So it's phones down, forks up. HelloFresh. Bring back dinner time. Hello.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome back.
Let's get back in the zone.
Let's get in the zone. Auto zone. All right. Was that a joke? Who's to say? All right. Before we get our quick recap and immerse fully in the imaginary world that I have brought to life for you, let us first talk about XP. I wanted to give you a kind of a slightly past midway of chapter 2 XP report, okay?
Yeah.
So,
oh, interesting.
You got 100 and you had
this just in.
Yep. After your, I'm going to go through each thing that you did. After your situation with that crested dinosaur and, you know.
Situation.
Yeah.
Failure.
It was a situation. You had 150 XP after that encounter.
Cool.
Then you encountered the effigy and the animated swords in the old battleground.
Oh, man.
That was a severe encounter worth 120. Then you encountered the slavers who were pretending to be merchants. That's another 120. You fought the Kelpie for 80 XP.
I'm sorry, that was only 80? Busted.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, girl.
Sorry, girl.
Yeah, girl.
You discovered the body of the explorer. That was worth 30 XP.
Yes. So that just goes to AWOL, right?
That goes to everyone.
To AWOL.
You all work together.
Excuse me. Where there were no footprints in the sand, that's when I carried you. This is a team discovering the body.
I do think of Raga as the Christ figure of our story.
I also do. Absolutely. I'm so glad. Yeah. Okay, I'm glad we're all on the same page there.
I want to see a nativity of baby Raga.
And the polar
by
bear
bears.
In the manger.
Yeah.
Oh, bear goddess, shine your light upon us.
Bear, on high.
All right, you heard it, fan art. Let's see. Let's baby see Raga in a manger surrounded by bears.
Oh, my God.
Three wise bears coming to visit.
Three wise bears.
Okay. For healing Gronum, Yelka and Olog's father, I'm going to give you 80 XP. And
ooh, that was a fun scene. That was a great scene.
Yes. Yeah. And then finally, the encounter you just dealt with, and dealt with handily, I would say, the burning mammoths who were poisoning the river. You are given 120 XP. So right now I have you at 700 XP, 300
wow.
short, 300 short of level 3.
Oh,
nice.
Man, I can't wait to get more spells.
Yeah,
I get level 2
stuff.
Spells when we get to level
Ooh, that's
3.
Big.
That's
level
huge.
3 is big.
Yeah, that's huge.
So let me briefly recap. The burning mammoths are chasing the broken tusks across the realm of the mammoth lords. Our scouts are leading the charge for the broken tusks, scouting ahead, making sure the route is safe as you head toward Red Cat Cave. Red Cat Cave is at the end of the Sayorn route, the new route that the Broken Tusks have been taking for years. And Red Cat Cave is where you think that you can confront the Guardian of the Primordial Flame, the Guardian who failed in keeping the Primordial Flame there, and find out what happened to the Primordial Flame by talking to the Guardian there.
And who is that Guardian?
Siarstik.
And we are, and Raga is slowly trying to learn Siarstik's true name.
That's right.
So the Burning Mammoth are chasing you. You've had several encounters, including this last one by the side of a river. You guys actually decided to pursue this encounter. You found that the river was poisoned and you headed northeast to find out the source of the poisoning. You came across some Burning Mammoth scouts who had gotten ahead of your following and were using a strange type of sludge sludge type creature to poison the river. You have dealt with said sludge and the burning mammoth scouts, and I leave you by the side of that river with let's see, there are like four bodies lying here. One of the burning mammoths got away. Mm-hmm. And you have just discovered, Olog specifically discovered upon destroying that sludge, that frozen sludge, that the smell off of it is similar to the chemical that Olog detected when he tested the river earlier and found it poisoned. So there you are on the edge of the river. You can stay here, you can look around, or you can move on. You can say, it's time to keep moving.
I have written down with two little stars by it, treat wounds on Olog. So I think right as we start here, I'm assuming past Paula really wanted Yelka to run up to Olog and like take it, just examine him, see that he is very hurt, and say, can we take a few minutes? Can I make you feel better, Olog?
And Olog hates to admit when he's hurt, so he just kind of gives a curt nod.
Hmm.
Knowing him well enough, she's like, okay, that's an enthusiastic yes.
He is pretty badly hurt, so this is nice.
Knowing Olog well, he is begging for your healing.
Ooh, so that works, because I rolled an 18 plus 6 on that treat wound.
Sweet.
So I'm going to assume
plus six, yeah. that does work.
Will work.
Not a critical success, but a success.
So there we go. Go and you get. Oh my gosh! What? Why can't I? Here it is. Jeez, Louise! Everyone. 2d8.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were telling us the total. I should have told you it's 2d8.
No, I was like, I do a thing. Sorry, I don't know why my brain was like, what do I do? I'm sorry, it's only 7. It's only 7 hit points.
That's great. That's, what are you talking about?
Better than nothing.
It's about half. That's about half of what you could have.
I could have gotten that on 1d8.
So if I cast heal in our last combat, can I cast it out of combat? I know I like used that
spell. You can always
spell.
Cast heal out of combat.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Can I cast to like level 3?
Well, did you... Wait. Can you cast it? Oh, you mean the 3-action version. Yes, yeah. Absolutely you may. Yes.
All right, baby. So then that's 2d8.
You prepared it?
Yeah.
Out of your list twice? Mm-hmm. You prepared it twice?
No, I did not. That was my question.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I used it in combat.
Yeah, so I don't think that you can cast it again now.
Okay.
But you guys can now move on, camp. And when you're done exploring this area where these bodies are laying, you can move on, camp, rest, and eventually your spells will replenish and you can heal everybody.
Exactly. Okay. I'm very low on HP currently, and I don't have medical tools. But I do want to investigate the cart. I know it was probably just holding the sludge, but I just want to see if there's anything... else interesting or useful.
Ewald's doing the same.
Very good. You approach the cart. The door is open. You can see remnants of the strange ooze kind of clinging to the inside. In fact, the entire inside of the cart has been treated like there's sort of like metal on the inside, you know, that probably keep the thing inside. And the metal is like kind of blackened, but also like covered with like icicles. And when you look inside,
is
there's
it cold
sort of
iron?
Like a mist is kind of floating out. Yeah, it's cold iron. Yes.
It is now.
Yeah.
It is now. Okay, gross, awful. I hate it there. Do I see anything else attached to the cart? Or like, does that look like it is its only purpose was to carry this sludge?
Let me see. The only purpose, it appears, was to carry the sludge.
Okay, great.
And then could I do a perception roll as well?
You may. Actually, let me roll for you. What's your bonus? 8, right? Plus 8?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, you look the card over thoroughly, and yes, it appears the only purpose of this thing was to carry the sludge.
So, Raga, do we just leave it here or do something else with it?
Well, I don't want it to roll into the river. Perhaps these
these remnants of this sludge might still have some poison in them. Perhaps we should take it a safe distance away and burn it. I do not know.
That's what I was going to say. Burn it.
Okay. I think that is good. You burn this, and I want to spend some time talking to the animals of this area. Make sure there are no more threats, that really, truly was all that was poisoning this river. So I want to spend 10 minutes to survey wildlife. That survey is one wildlife. Of my, okay. Yeah, one of my skill feats, and I study the details. So I spend 10 minutes assessing the area around me to find out what creatures are nearby based on nests, scat, marks in vegetation. And okay. if I succeed, then I can do a recall knowledge check with a -2 penalty to learn more about the creatures.
Okay. Go ahead and make your survival roll. So this won't really let you, I think you were saying talk to the animals. This will really more tell you what animals are there.
Yeah, I misunderstood what I wanted to do, but I rolled a 20.
A 20 survival. Is a great roll. And what I would say is that I'll tell you this, you're aware that you think that now that they have stopped poisoning the river, the fish will stop dying, the things in the river will stop dying. You're pretty certain that you have ended this threat.
Great.
Other than that, the animals in the area seem normal for this area.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
And while she's doing that for 10 minutes, AWOL is going to spend 10 minutes in silent meditation to recover his focus point that he used to cast Lay on Hands on Olog. So he'll get that back, and I could just use it again if Raga wants it or if Olog needs it. What do you guys think?
It's the kind of thing where
like we could spend a few hours here and I could just keep doing it.
I think just give me a little something, just in case we encounter anything crazy. I'm at 5. So I'm
Whoa.
I just if we see anything, I will die instantly. So I just want to make sure that I'm not at like that dangerous kind of level, and then I think we move on.
I think Raga I can stuff. Help you. So he'll cast Lay on Hands on you, and that's 6 points of healing.
Thank you. I feel better.
And then, yeah, let's, Olog, if you would help me and whoever else wants to, just try to pull this away from the side of the river. Because it looks like a big cart. It looks like it would need to be horse-drawn. It looks
Yeah, you can
large.
Hook it to Baba.
Yeah.
It is pretty big, so Olog is going to pick it up with one hand.
Yeah.
And assuming it's daytime, he's going to throw it into the sun so it can't.
Oh, great. Good.
Olog, give me a strength. Athletics roll.
Amazing.
Quest for the Frozen Flame, the mythical adventure.
18.
An 18. Olog rolls the cart several feet away from the river.
There we go. So he doesn't throw it into the sun.
Okay.
Pretty close, almost.
And he gave it a
shot. I want to pick over the corpses of our fallen enemies, much like the crows of my namesake.
Ooh.
Yes. So you find what they were carrying, which spears, slings. They had some leather armor, hide armor. And the long shield carried a long shield, a big shield with a shield boss on the front of it, in addition to his spear. None of these spears or weapons look exceptional or strange in any way.
Mm. Okay.
Cool.
I say we move on.
Yes, I think we did what we needed to do here. Let's,
we thwarted their going? Nefarious plans. Let us move on.
Oh. Yeah, all right. You know what? I'm gonna say there was one more thing. Forgive me. I'm gonna say that there was one more thing in among their belongings. There was a bundle of 20 tinder twigs.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
that,
I'm gonna say that because that's what it says in the book. That's why I'm going to say that.
Got it.
Should we split those up? carry them each on our sheets, or is there a master loot list that we should work off of? I think I made one a while ago, but we haven't got a lot of loot in this.
No, you haven't. So a tinder twig, for anybody wondering at home, is an alchemical substance applied to one end of this tiny wooden stick, ignites when struck against a rough surface, creating a flame with a tinder twig is much faster than creating a flame with flint and steel.
Like a match, like a quick strike match.
And you can ignite the tinder twig and touch it to a flammable object as part of the same interact action.
So yeah, should we all just take a handful of them?
Let's each take five.
Okay.
Everybody takes five tinder twigs. And I'm going to move us
to... Baba takes five as well.
I'm going to move us to...
That's how the math works.
The travel route map. And you can see where you are. You have traveled up the river away from Gleaming Sun Lake to the northeast. Ahead of you, the river kind of goes up into some hills. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. The source of the river must be up there somewhere. To the south of you is forest. You were initially going to go into the forest, but you decided to head northeast toward the source of the corruption, the pollution. Mm-hmm. There is a middle route here through the plains between the forest and the hills. Where would you like to go?
To me, it's either that plains route or the river hills route, because we just got to keep moving east. But if we go through the plains, we'll have the option to go into the forest in our next move.
I like the plains idea.
Yeah, I'm down with the plains.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to get in that forest so bad.
Let's move, baby. I'm moving.
Oh, all right.
But as I move, I am making a note that Raga spent the evening in communion with nature to try and learn one more piece of CR Stick's true name. And she already listened to the fire. Mm-hmm. And she learned something from the fire. And she tried to listen again and heard nothing. And that was a clue to her that perhaps there was some other aspect of nature that she needed to listen to. So this time she wants to listen to the wind. Mm. The wind whistling over the plains, rustling in the leaves of the trees as the tall grasses rub against each other and flutter in the winds. That's what she is listening to.
Very good. So you will make a nature roll?
I think so.
Okay. And I know the DC, so go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of the NASH by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
There are vampires out there. They're beside you in the darkness, but what people don't understand is that they're not monsters. They're just going to work, living their unlives. But we are a dying breed. Those who came before me, they are fearful and are not content to sit back and just disappear. And they'll do anything to fix that. From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes. Those you want and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.
The world of Sonic the Hedgehog has been thrust into a not-so-dark, not-so-stormy, hard-boiled detective story that probably nobody saw coming. Follow Sonic and the Intrepid Chaotix Detective Agency as they take on their biggest case yet. This high-flying, action-packed adventure will take them across the world.
Tonight out.
fighting for every clue they can find. It's one heck of a tale, which is good, because this story might be the only thing that can save their lives.
Well, if that's all, I can just dispose of you.
Wait, what?
All will be revealed in Sonic the Hedgehog presents The Chaotix Case Files. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When the Chaotix are on the case.
That is a natural 20.
Yeah. A natural
27. So that's a 27.
Are you kidding me? A 27 altogether?
27 altogether.
I'm going to give you 2 points toward learning
the
true name.
All right! Nice.
And that means you now have 4 points.
I
and
know,
you have
4 points.
You have learned the true name.
What?
Whoa.
Oh my God, I thought I would need so many more.
You've spent lots of time on this.
I've spent 4 nights, yeah.
You learn the true name, and it is a series of very high-pitched growls, like the sound of a puma or cougar. Yeah, it's like that. That's the true name.
Terrifying.
Jellicle cats come out tonight.
Okay.
Luckily, the player Mary Lou is very good at imitating animal sounds, so it should be no problem.
No problem. Okay, Raga's going to keep it to herself for now. She's not going to tell her companions just yet that she's learned the name and that she knows what it is. She's going to mull on it just a little bit longer. She doesn't quite know the power it has.
Okay, so I checked for a... So that happens overnight. I will also say that you guys have had enough time that you can heal yourselves up, you know, doing, you know, repeated treat wounds, repeated recovering your focus point, laying on hands. Please spend a ration, which I think you all have a lot now, but please spend a ration.
Yes.
Spent.
Spending.
And
damn it,
I checked for a random encounter in that hex, and there was no random encounter. So you may continue to move forward. Awesome. South of you is the forest. North of you is a hill space, and to the northeast ish kind of direction is more plains.
Did we want to get in some forest time?
Let's cut through the forest.
I think we were excited about the forest.
I think we were.
You may cut through the forest.
If I've learned anything from Grimm's fairy tales, you always cut through a strange forest.
Always cut through a strange forest. Anyway. Yes.
You may cut through the forest, but I have something to tell you. Uh-oh. We have been doing some of our traveling, I think, incorrectly.
Uh-oh.
According to page 29 of Quest for the Frozen Flame, book 1, Broken Tusk Moon by Ron and Stephanie Lundeen, moving into a forest square or a hill square does take 2 days of travel.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like we double checked the hill and it didn't take 2 days.
We did double check that.
Traveling and terrain. Each hex is marked with a predominant type of terrain found there. Forest, hills, plains, mountains, or water. Forests and hills are difficult terrain. If you look up Hexploration in the Game Mastery Guide, it says difficult terrain requires 2 days of travel. We looked it up.
Yeah, we didn't look at the Quest for the Frozen Flame. I think we just looked in general, Pathfinder 2E Hexploration, and hills was not listed under difficult terrain. It was only like mountains.
Listeners who corrected us 7 weeks ago on Discord, this is your day of triumph.
Yes,
you win. Congratulations. You win nothing. Okay.
Okay. So do we want to take that? Do we want to take that penalty? 2 day penalty.
We have to move so quick, though. I don't know. Knowing that,
I really, just out of curiosity and for the sake of changing things up, I would love to do it, but we have no narrative justification for doing it.
Yeah.
Like we have to move as quickly as possible. So
I'll just add one other thing, and this is very meta, and this is what I will add. Right now, the Hexploration system doesn't appear to have a ton of depth because I think it's sort of letting you put on the training wheels first.
Okay.
In subsequent books, which I have been absorbing, exploration becomes a little bit more complicated. So that's just to let you know that if right now you're like, what would even be the point of going into a hill hex? Well, later there will be a little bit more of a point to it. The amount of time you spend traveling becomes very important.
Okay. Well,
yeah, unless
well, here's what I said. We brought this up before. Going into the forest, we knew would slow us down and would give the Burning Mammoth a way to get closer to us. But we also said, and this was my argument for it, was A, food and resources. B, that it would be harder for them to mount some sort of like attack against us in the forest. It offers a lot of cover, a lot of ability to hide for the following, etc. So that was one argument, yeah. I thought, role-playing wise, while we could do it.
And I don't want to discourage you. There's absolutely no reason why you can't spend 2 days traveling through a forest hex. The only thing you may be worried about is that the Burning Mammoths are hot on your heels.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
I think speed for my feelings right now, speed transcends wanting to go into the forest for me at this moment in time. I think we'll have chances to explore other terrains in the future. But right now, I'm scared of them catching up to us. They kick our ass.
Yeah.
They go toe-to-toe with us.
That's fine with me.
All right, let's...
We'll just race, stay to the edge of the forest.
Stay in the plains.
And keep moving quickly one day
and
at a time.
We can see him coming.
And not get the incredible magic item in the forest. That's
no,
good to know.
No,
if
don't say
that
it like
important,
that.
Jared, we'll just drop it somewhere else, honestly.
You mean the item we need to offer the one
CR
that's
stick?
Guarding
oh,
the... Yeah,
no.
CR stick?
Guys, the blade
the
of the
CR
forest.
Stick. It's in the forest.
Yeah, the CR stick.
The CR stick.
The Blade of the Forest, the only thing
the
that
Blade of
CR
the Forest
Stick
gods,
wants.
You know, if you miss it, it just makes things a bit harder. Okay, go ahead.
The Blade of the Forest gods. It just makes things a little bit harder.
Fuck.
I'm going to bring that into every game I do. I'm going to hint at items that don't exist that the PCs are missing.
Oh, God. Okay. That is truly, like, it makes my stomach ache.
Well, it really does. It bothers me so much.
As a GM, I am a sadist. Okay. Move your piece to the northeast.
I'm doing it.
Rhyme.
I'm sorry, guys. Oops. I'm moving it.
I'm a rapper now. Okay. So, let's see. You are crossing the plains of northern Avastan through the realm of the Mammoth Lords. It's flat. It's very flat here. The grass, even though it's spring, the grass in the morning is frosted and cracks under your feet. It breaks. Around noon, things get pretty warm. They get up to almost 50 degrees, 55 degrees,
wow.
Something
wow.
like that.
Wow.
And...
Spring
so
is
far,
coming.
So far, nothing significant happens. So you can continue to move if you like.
Ooh, all right, I would like to do a survival check to hunt on this day in this hex.
All right,
to try to
everybody's gonna
spell.
Spend. Everybody's gonna spend a ration, but if you successfully hunt right now, AWOL, you don't need to do that, and you might even get something large enough that. Nobody needs to do that. So why don't we go ahead and make that survival check and see how you do.
Let's see. Oh, 25.
Nice.
25. I'm going to call that a critical.
Yeah, it was a natty 19.
Nice.
Yeah, and I think that you get a large, like, elk.
Yeah!
Awesome.
All right.
Oh, my God. He comes, like, running back, breathless. He's like, I need your help quickly before the, the other animals get on it. What do you call, like, scavengers or whatever? Before the scavengers get on it.
Yeah, carrion.
It's like he can't even carry it. It's so big, and he's just, like, so excited. But that's
wow.
a lot of meat.
You actually did it, AWOL.
I did. Oh, I did.
Oh, Baba loves elk. Oh, this is very good. I will help.
Oh, man, Baba can feast.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just wild because, like, so what would they actually do, right, if we weren't in a running situation, we weren't nomadic in this sense? I think they could cut it, they could hang
it,
right,
strip
dry
it, hang it, smoke it.
Yeah.
You guys can use all of the animal feet to subsist near it for many days.
Oh, yeah. Great. Let's do that. Let's.
Would be if you're staying there. You're kind of like.
Yeah. So since we're on the move, we just have to like eat some delicious, fresh meat right now. But then we have to leave the rest. But we're leaving it for the scavengers.
If we had salt, we could salt pack it, which would cure it into like a sort of jerky and keep it. But I don't think we have that.
I don't have enough precious salt.
And it's not cold enough, I think,
Because it's gotten to like
spoil.
55. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think we just feast today.
Cut a couple haunches off.
Yeah. Maybe we can strap them to Baba. His mouth watering the whole time.
It's really delicious. It's really fresh. It's
Good job, AWOL.
Actually sounds amazing.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
It's been living healthy. Been living healthy. It's not like these meats we have in our modern world.
It's all grass fed, no
this
antibiotics.
Filthy
no
hell we've built for ourselves.
No GMOs.
Murdering animals in cages. Oh, if we could only live in the realm of the Mammoth Lords where things are pure.
But Jared, you wouldn't have the internet.
Mm. Oh,
could you handle
never
it?
Mind. I need my Instagram.
Insta addict, Jared Logan.
Okay. So, a day and a night pass, and you may move on if you'd like.
Shall we? We're following Raga's lead and Baba's lead, right? Just like sniffing the air. Which way do we go? Northeast or southeast?
I think southeast.
Southeast
is more plains. Yeah, you want to go that way?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, we're just
and no one
ever
needed
closer.
To use a ration. Recall that no one needed to use a ration in the last square, but you're about to have to use a ration in this square. And nothing happens in this square either. So
now we're like making good. We're like focused. We've reconnected with our people. We stopped some poisoning. We're like, all right. And we're just like, we're energized by the fact that Raga knows the name of CR Stick. And we're just going.
We're feeling prepared.
Mm-hmm. Your belly's full of fresh elk.
And I'll just say also that the following is at times miles and miles behind you, but at other times the following might get a little closer. Like, for example, when you stop down for an hour or two maybe to hunt. So if there is some pressing business with the following that you'd want to handle, it's always an option, and it won't like slow you down an entire day necessarily, depending on what the role play in the business is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
sorry, Joe, just the animal. You said we could subsist for multiple days. So can we skip rations for a couple days or
that's
one more day?
If we're staying near the corpse.
I'm sorry,
corpse.
You said that right away.
Near the carcass, yeah.
You're right. Okay.
Carcass, not corpse. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, this is basically
it's also,
the same thing.
It's also
pretty close.
A corpse. It's also a corpse. All corpse right.
Of the victim.
Oh, you know what? Let me check one more thing. No, nothing. Okay, so you can continue to move if you'd like.
Okay. Well, it's either southeast into the forest or northeast into continue along the plains. And this is the last stretch of forest. The forest like dies out as we get now to the mountains.
Is there any way we can tell how far behind they are?
You're following?
The burning mammoth.
Sorry, the burning mammoth. How far behind the burning mammoth is to see if we can afford going into the forest for 2 days.
You might ask your following who are closer to them than you are, right? You're always ahead as the tip of the spear.
Right, exactly. Ugh. Yeah. But we don't want to wait to talk to them and see. Unless we do get to like some updates.
I think we made the decision to just go as fast as possible until something
we did.
Stops
we did.
Us. Let's just keep pushing. We're making
good
time.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm moving us.
Northeast into the
northeast.
Plains.
All right, and there wasn't another hunting excursion, so let's go ahead and all use a ration.
It's all right.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out like when to hunt, when not to hunt. I just don't know.
If you don't hunt, remember I have the forager feet. And I can feed all of us if we're subsisting on a roll.
And I still have 8 rations at this point. So nice. If anyone is feeling dire, there is some possible sharing that can happen if needed as well.
Possible sharing, if you're nice to me.
Well, it depends on how many days from now you would like to share. Because in 5 days, I'm only going to have 3 rations. There.
Okay. You've used your ration for that travel day. Mm-hmm. And I will say that I have rolled and nothing of significant happens. Maybe you're even getting bored at this point. Or you feel you're home free because you are within a few hexes of the grandparents, the two towering mountain peaks that border a valley that leads into the area where you'll find Red Cat Caves. You're getting very close.
Probably can see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yelka was actually
God
starting to feel...
Not even God himself could stop us now.
Not even God himself.
Please Yelka's knock like, on something wooden.
I feel like, I don't know. It's a little strange that we haven't run into anything the last few days.
Quite calm.
It is. It's too quiet.
Does everything seem normal otherwise? Nature and grass and animals, we're seeing all the flora and fauna that we would expect?
You are, yeah. You're seeing birds and small plains creatures, prairie dog type animals, rabbits.
Well, perhaps when we killed that advanced scout team from the Burning Mammoths, they learned their lesson and didn't send any...
That's right. They know how tough we are now.
Yes,
they realize we're a force to be reckoned with.
They sent a vicious elk for one last attempt to try to stop us. But he was destroyed. And now they know.
There's also no reason to think that anyone else is really out here.
No, yeah.
Besides them. This far away from the water, approaching the mountains. Forest is falling away behind us soon. There's just not a lot of reason to be here. Okay.
And the weather has kept, I'll just say, each day it does as I said. It kind of is, very frosty at night, and then in the daytime it gets up to high 40s, maybe even inching into the 50s. Of course, your characters wouldn't be aware of that because you don't have the Fahrenheit system.
Right.
We're European.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to roll to hunt in this hex on the outskirts of the forest. See if I can't catch something. That is an 8.
Oh,
an 8.
So yeah,
all together.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. You do not get anything.
Yeah. So there is nothing. So as we move to the next one, he'll spend another ration. Oof. And now he is out of original rations and down to the rations that we stole from the boat.
Very good. Let me know when you would like to move again, but everybody needs to have spent a ration for this hex.
Yes.
Damn.
Okay. I'm going to move us. Here we go.
Let's do it.
Southeast one hex in the last. We're still in the plains.
I guess we're starting to see like some hills stretching out before us, some, the mountain peaks less in the distance, more in view. It's,
like a slight
familiar
fog
and beautiful and nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and I will say that in the mid-morning on this day, you see some sort of object ahead of you on the plains. Something kind of standing erect and gray ahead of you.
I will detect magic.
Okay. Your detect magic goes about 30 feet, and this thing is at least 150, 200 feet away from you.
Great. So as we start to walk toward it, then I'll say, let's all be a little bit careful, and I'm just going to be constantly seeing if there's anything magical as we get closer to it. And I don't want to get any closer than 30 feet. But just in case there's other things around that we just haven't noticed yet as we walk up to it, I would like to be detecting magic as we approach.
So you're creeping toward it?
Well, Olog pulls off his axe. He says, I fear no gray erections. And he just starts walking right towards it.
Olog! Wait, Olog, remember what happened with the effigy? We got too close. We activated it, and we got in trouble very quickly. Let us be cautious this time.
We cannot let them win.
This is a gray shape. It might not. Do not fear the gray shape. Let us
your
just
erections
observe
of
it.
No color.
AWOL will also pull out both of his weapons, thinking of the effigy combat and how rocked he got in that combat from something that looked kind of inert. What does it look like from 150 feet away, Jared? Does it look like an obelisk? Does it look like a stone thing?
Or? It doesn't have a geometric shape to it. Mm. And I will say it looks like almost like an animal, but it's not moving.
Hmm. Okay, definitely okay. Weapons out. And I'm going to go in stealth Raga? Mode. I will go avoiding notice. So I'll hide behind Olag and stay low
Raga
to the ground.
Raga goes, oh, I wish I could sneak up on this thing. I wish I were very small and quiet and I can get closer to this thing. I want to be able to see it better. And then, oh,
all of a sudden, you see Raga's shape sort of like, condense in like as if she just collapsed to the ground into nothingness.
What?
And if you and you hear some little squeaky squeaks, and if you pulled the grass apart, you
Yunka
would see.
Will, she drops her knees and looks.
You would see a very small white winter shrew with with two ice blue eyes, one ice blue, one kind of dark, like ice white, and it's squeaking at you and waving its tiny paws. Raga has just used wild shape for the first time.
Wow. Cool. Wow.
I think amazing. This is Raga.
Raga?
Okay, I have questions for you later. And I'll put her back down on the ground.
And she's gonna approach this thing as in pest form. My stealth modifiers are +10. So that's what I'm gonna use. I'm going to be sneaking up through the grass as this tiny little plains shrew.
So awesome.
This little white mousy. And I'm going to try and get as close as I can to this thing while avoiding notice.
Seeing this, Yelka will pause her creep forward with detecting magic. She doesn't want to get in the way of whatever Raga is trying to do. So she'll hang back a little while Raga investigates.
Very good. Is AWOL still sort of creeping forward?
Yeah, I felt like we all were. Okay. Just in case she gets in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Olog's walking there, so he's walking behind Olog. And as long as Olog keeps approaching, he's going to keep approaching.
I'm going to let you guys roll stealth in this particular case. I'm not going to roll it for you, so just go ahead and give me a roll, each of you.
Okay.
Not great. Old AWOL. That's a 16 for AWOL.
The 24 for Raga in pest form.
So
17
cool.
For Yelka.
I'm not trying to be stealthy.
Very good.
Olog!
And Olog is probably the wisest of all of you, because as you guys get close, you realize the thing is not moving. And when I say not moving, I mean it is completely stationary in every way. And once the pest form of Raga gets very close, you see that it is a lifelike statue of a rearing mammoth balanced on its hind legs.
Whoa.
With something crushed underneath it. And you might not have noticed that if you hadn't been at ground level there, Raga. Oh. Something is crushed underneath it.
What?
Yelka will then just immediately get realizing all of this, unless it's only Raga who realizes this being the closest. Yelka probably doesn't see that there's anything underneath it because Raga hasn't told yet. But if it's like, oh, okay, this is okay, Yelka will move forward and continue to detect magic when she gets 30 feet away from it.
Within 30 feet, you get a extremely faint, almost dead kind of ember of magical force, which I will describe as something you have felt when there has been magic somewhere, but there is no longer.
I'm going to stay in pest form, and I'm going to stay at the bottom of the statue, wait for one of them to approach, and go, like jumping up on my little hind legs like a little mousey.
Raga, right there close to the statue, you see that the thing crushed beneath it is feathered. There are feathers coming off of it.
Yelka will continue to move forward, knowing that there was a magic, but there isn't. She wants to touch this statue, so I don't know if I will get there before the boys to interact with Raga, excuse me, but Yaga, that's when Yelka and Raga combine into one person.
Yes, Yaga.
Yaga.
Okay. Okay, so you come close and you touch the statue.
Yes. And I would like
to... At that moment...
Yes.
No.
Nothing happens.
Oh my God.
I knew it.
Logan. Does it look like this thing that's crushed underneath the statue? Does it look like it's something that we'd be able to get out in my human form? Or would I need to stay...
Yeah, someone would have to yank it out. It's really kind of crushed under there, but someone might be able to pull it out.
Okay. I'm going to try to pull it out.
Then, yeah, Raga becomes a big old person again.
Ooh, give me an athletics check, Olog.
Just to be clear, there is no psychometric resonance on this statue.
Oh, boy. Psychometric resonance. You are going to use your psychometric resonance power?
Yes. So putting my hands on the... statue.
So I need to make sure we are using this power correctly because I looked it up in the Dark Archive.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that last time we used it close to correctly. Mm-hmm. But I want to make sure that we've got it just right. So with the touch, you can read the psychic impressions left on objects by their previous owners. This exploration activity functions similar to detect magic in that you move at half speed, travel speed, blah, 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 blah. You must brush your bare hands over any objects you pass while you do this. This detects objects with significant emotional resonance attached to them, such as the joy from a child's beloved teddy bear, the sorrow from a widower's wedding ring, the fear of a victim's murder weapon. If you're looking for a particular type of emotional resonance, blah, 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 your bare hands are touching the object. You can spend 1 minute on the object to get a vision of the face of the person who imbued the item with such emotion in the first place. Okay, I think having reread that almost in its entirety, I know what I'll do here. You touch the side of the statue, and you don't really get a reading. This object has not been imbued with emotional resonance.
Okay, great. Okay, I think it's... I don't think it's a mammoth that was turned into stone, everyone, because I don't sense anything from it. I think it's just a statue.
Why don't you go ahead and give me that athletics check, Olog? That athletics check to pull the thing from beneath it.
There we go. 28.
That is a critical.
Yeah.
That's a critical. You pull a feathered creature with a beak. It looks like it walked on two legs. It's fairly crushed now. It has a diamond-studded collar on it.
Oh, my goodness.
And it looks... It's a pretty ugly thing. It looks like it would have stood about as high as, like a dog. Maybe a bit taller, you know, because it goes on two legs. It's like green bird.
How did it get crushed under there if this is just a statue, though?
I'm sure that it crushed it, and then it turned it to stone. Like, I don't know why you think it's not... turned to stone.
Well, because you'd think that if something got turned to stone, I would be able to sense the pain or the fear of it as it turned into stone by touching it, AWOL.
You think that, but the GM may have a different interpretation of psychometric resonance.
Right, like it's not an owned object.
That's fine, that's pretty well. Yelka is thinking of it.
Yeah, it's not an owned object that was used in a murder or worn on the hand of a guy who loves somebody.
I am going to spend this campaign arguing with you about how we can modify this ability slightly to make it more appropriate to this setting.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you where Yelka's thinking, and she didn't get a feeling from it until that's her interpretation. It doesn't have to be correct.
Okay, so Yelka is telling you all that this is definitely not a mammoth that's been turned to stone.
But
so someone
also, it makes no sense that something's crushed under it. So I don't know.
What is? Can I do a knowledge nature on these bones? See if maybe this is a hey creature or something.
On the creature that's been yanked out from under
it?
Yeah. You may do that.
And the bones and the feathers, maybe it's a creature that, or maybe it was the object being crushed, the necklace or something.
And how long has it been dead?
17 nature.
17.
I rolled a 21 nature. I want to know specifically how long it's been dead.
AWOL and Raga working together are able to piece together from their disparate knowledge that this is a cockatrice.
Oh, okay. No wonder.
So cool. And how long has it been dead? You are unable to tell that.
Okay. This poor little creature.
Yes.
Oh, maybe it did then turn to stone. Well, I don't know what I know, everyone.
Well, maybe it just wasn't a very emotionally intelligent mammoth.
Maybe you're right. It wasn't scared. It accepted death willingly.
Yeah, well... maybe. Oh, you're really arguing this, and
I'm saying is how Yelka is thinking about it. That does not mean that has to be how Jared and Paula think about it.
I'm gonna try to stick as close as I can to how I understand the ability. I don't think that this thing was. It doesn't say in the ability that you feel the emotions of something that's.
Of
you know
course,
what I mean?
No, and that's fine if that's how that is. But that's in this moment how Yelka is thinking about this new ability because it's new. She's learning it. That doesn't mean she's interpreting it necessarily correctly in this moment. This is a learning situation for her where she's like, huh, but this was clearly it was turned to stone. So what does that mean about this new ability I've suddenly have? And what am I learning from that? So
can everybody see the ugly cockatrice that I've,
Oh, yeah.
That is ugly. Oh, that guy. Oof. Oh, yeah. He is.
Nasty.
It's like a rooster with bat wings and like a dinosaur tail.
Yeah, like a dragon tail.
And teeth.
And sort of like, and very AWOL style hair.
Yeah.
AWOL style hair.
I do dig his hair.
But like a long, bald vulture neck. Ooh, this guy is. Yeah, he's ugly.
He really is. Right, so they got into it. Mammoth crushed him. But had succumbed to his ability to petrify.
But wait, this cockatrice, it has a collar, a diamond collar. I feel like this is not normal for this type of creature, no?
Is it someone's pet?
Is there magic on the collar, on the necklace?
There used to be magic here, but it seems like there isn't any anymore.
Maybe
that was the collar. Okay, Yelka will touch the collar. She get any sense of
emotional resonance?
like a beloved pet?
This collar is so funny because it's so like I constantly have to go like, huh, how much did someone care about this collar?
I imagine that most of the time this isn't going to work unless we want it for very interesting flavor of Yelka being able to like see the past or the future as an oracle / something actually important. That's how Paula the player is viewing this ability.
versus something actually important. I think
a plot point that we really need to get, you know.
Right, I feel you on that. I don't think you're getting any emotional resonance from this collar, but I will say that it looks to be worth quite a bit of gold, maybe like 25 gold.
Oh, whoa.
I get the sense that someone spent a lot of money on this, but I don't even know what money is. I don't think it's special. Maybe it was. It's very pretty.
Yeah, I think it's special. I mean, just insofar as like, my guess is that diamonds like this are rare, right? Hard to find.
This is the silliest correction. It's emeralds. I said diamonds for some reason.
Oh, The collar is also silver.
The collar is also silver.
Oh.
Okay.
I just know that I'll look up diamonds later and be like, that should be worth 1,000 gold. No, it's emerald studded with, it's made of silver.
It feels to me like whoever put this collar on this cockatrice, it's important to them for some reason.
Yeah.
Because look at this, but it doesn't, it's at least not magical now. And
well,
I don't get any other feelings from it.
If we come across whoever's pet this was, they may appreciate getting it back.
This is a good idea. Though I am still worried. What type of person would keep such an ugly creature as a pet?
Yeah, what else would we know from our knowledge nature about cockatrices? Like, are they neutral? Like, are they just animals?
Also,
are they, like, inherently, like,
one?
Evil fey or something? I don't know anything about
Are they
about
intelligent?
Yeah.
They're beasts, so they
beasts?
Are
okay.
Kind of neutral.
Okay, so they don't have, like, a language, right, or anything?
They do not have a language, no. And you know that they can turn other creatures to stone. They can petrify them.
Mm. Is it normal to see one out and about, or is this very unusual?
I'll say Raga's 21 nature lets you know that they are not native to this area. Mm.
I wonder whose mammoth this was. What tribe?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Can we see if the mammoth shows any signs of being from a particular tribe or a wild mammoth? Like, is that... Like, can you tell if there's... you know, harness sort of markings or anything like that that would show it's a domesticated mammoth?
I'll just let you do that without any sort of check. You don't see any kind of markings or harness on it at all. And there are wild mammoths that range across these plains. Not every mammoth belongs to a following.
I was just looking up some stuff on cockatrice, and there's one line that stuck out, and it's just pretty amazing. Particularly brave or foolhardy individuals sometimes keep cockatrices as pets or guard animals. So I guess they can be kept as pets, but
yeah,
you have to be
like
particularly brave.
Like Mike Tyson might have a cockatrice if they're available to him.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
That's a perfect example.
Perhaps let us leave this cockatrice, this poor beast. Please let us leave it next to this poor mammoth as a message to the following to be watchful for strange mm-hmm. creatures.
Yes. An unfortunate encounter.
Do we have to leave it like this? Is there any way to... There's no way to help this petrified mammoth, right? We just have to leave it.
Is there a way to undo the spell?
You may roll Arcana to know that.
Ooh, I don't know anything about Arcana, but let's find
out. I rolled a six.
I rolled a... Why am I rolling this die? It is so hard to read. I think that's an 8 total.
Okay.
So...
All right.
Anyone else want to go for it?
No,
I'm untrained. I have a plus 0.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Arcana. I feel like
we
could
really
get lucky.
I love that the tip of the spear, you know, they don't know everything. So sometimes they are a little bit like Kellid tribesmen of the realm of the Mammoth Lords.
Yeah.
They're like,
I don't know anything about
mystery?
Arcana.
What is
Arcana's
this compass?
Arcana's not a big thing here. Yeah.
What does this compass do?
Well, how about this? I'll say this, Jared. With our nature check and cockatrices and knowing their ability to petrify, even if we don't know the means, do we know that it is possible to unpetrify from a cockatrice's bite or whatever? And if so, it's something that we could just sort of like tell the following, like there's a mammoth that could be helped by someone with magical skill.
I will tell you this final detail about No, I want another check. Give me another check that would tell you that.
Another nature?
Yeah, that works.
Okay. Let's see if I can roll high. I rolled high. 21.
Okay. You know that sometimes creatures that have been petrified by a cockatrice, when the sun comes up on some following day, they reanimate.
Oh.
Sometimes. Oh. Not always.
Oh, so it's
can
like...
Can I... This is crazy, but Raga's going to lay hands on it and try and cast heal on this stone mammoth.
Yeah. So when you connect to the primal magic mm-hmm. and you use heal, it's like mm-hmm. you feel the heartbeat of another creature sort of get into sync with yours. Mm-hmm. There is no heartbeat here. Don't even bother using the spell. It has no target if you are trying to fire it at
the It's like healing mammoth. A rock.
It's like healing a rock.
Okay, got it.
In that case, AWOL would ask if we could...
leave a message.
Just pray. Like for a moment. Like, I think he would just... Because if it is, like, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, he'll just sort of say a prayer on the mammoth's behalf. If it should be if Sister Cinder should see it wise that her son will free this creature, then we would be, if it was a vote, we'd vote free the creature. Just wanted to let you know, Sister Cinder. But hey, it's totally sister. Up to you.
And you totally said sun you. As in like sun and moon, not sun as in like she's your right. mother, right?
Yeah. No, I no, like she is the sun, basically. Oh, like she
I was
works
like, did
through
I miss
the sun.
Something? Okay.
Just for fun, give me a religion roll for your prayer.
Okay.
Tell me about your prayer, if there's any other details to share, or you could just roll.
I would say that he attempts to once again reach this place, right? The same place where he had this connection before when it came to the Gronum connection. And in my imagination of it, it's empty. She's not there. It's this kind of a misty place that he's imagining, and he can't really see her. Maybe there's a faint glow in the distance, almost as if looking at the sun through heavy clouds, right? Like you can sort of get the sense of a shape of sunlight, and but it's not defined, and it's not so bright that you have to turn away. And his prayer is a request that this majestic creature be freed from this prison, essentially, and allowed to return to the wild, and if it should so choose, it could help our following. Every mammoth helps the following, you know. So,
and as a druid, I want the freedom of all animal of the animal order. You're describing in your prayer this mammoth that is trapped in this prison, and Raga throws her whole heart and soul into this prayer as well.
Give me religion rolls.
And again, this is all like it's not a request as much as a. If you see fit for this creature to return, then like we're speaking on its behalf.
Yeah.
Okay. Religion roll. Oh, 20.
What? I rolled a 21.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
But now it's time to move on.
We're about to end our episode.
Yeah.
No.
But.
No. We just started.
You move on. You move on. You earn 30 XP for discovering this and for pulling the cockatrice out. You also have the diamond-studded collar. You move on and I'm sorry, emerald. Oh, my God.
I wanted to
be a diamond. I really wanted to be a diamond. You move on. The scouts move on. And then shortly after that, the entire following comes through. And they are amazed and mystified by this frozen and petrified mammoth, but they follow your footsteps. They follow you on across the plains toward the grandparents that are looming overhead. A day and a night passes. Another day and a night passes. Another. And then the dawn of the next day. Suddenly, the gray skin begins to go orange.
Oh, yes.
And the hair starts to move with the wind. And suddenly, it falls down again. It was up on its hind legs, comes down onto its front legs,
it lets out
a mighty, a mighty trumpet. And that's where we'll end for today.
Yes! Yes!
The mighty mammoth has returned to his home in the wild.
We prayed a mammoth back to life.
Marky Mark the mammoth.
In his veins flows the blood of the wild.
Man, only in our Pathfinder games can you pray back a mammoth. This is what an afternoon.
He
an
is
afternoon.
Risen indeed.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos
of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Ox Venture, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, we're Meg Bashwinner.
And Joseph Fink.
Of Welcome to Night Vale. And on our new show, The Best Worst, we explore the golden age of television.
To do that, we're watching the IMDb viewer-rated best and worst episodes of classic TV shows.
The episode of Star Trek, where Beverly Crusher has sex with a ghost. The episode of The X-Files, where Scully gets attacked by a vicious house cat.
And also the really good episodes, too.
What can we learn from the best and worst of great television? Like, for example, is it really a bad episode, or do people just hate women?
The Best Worst, available wherever you get your podcasts.